Blog Talk Radio.
Can do to be healthier, no matter who you are or where you are. So let's move.
Well, here we go. We're getting set to get underway.
Let's stretch in the grass.
Great play.
Let's play tag.
What a play.
Let's jump up and down.
Oh, what a way to finish it.
And most of all, let's eat better so that we have the energy we need to play an hour a day every day.
Everyone can play. Just go to letsmove.gov to learn more.
The 99th came eyeball to eyeball in air-to-air combat with the German Luftwaffe.
The
bombers would be here. We'd be above the bombers to provide sort of a net against the German planes coming down.
We said we'd better get the real name and identification so that the bombers and the Germans would know when we were on a mission. And it was decided jointly that we would paint the tails red, and we became known as the Red Tails.
When you buy a car, what are you really buying? A shiny coat of paint? A list of features? What about the strength of the steel, the integrity of its design, or how it responds in extreme situations? The deeper you look, the more you see the real differences, and the more you understand what it means to own a Mercedes-Benz. The C-Class, the engineering of Mercedes-Benz, starting at $33,600.
You're white. Start out with a bright future. Then, over time, they become dull and begin to lose their luster. Because washing in the Bargain brand can leave dirt from the wash on your clothes, causing your white to get dingy. New improved Tide Plus Bleach helps to remove the dirt in one wash to bring your white back to bright. Turning whitish to wow. Tide Plus Bleach. Style is an option. Clean is not.
Applebee's 2 for 20 is back and fresher than ever.
So, Dave, you and the wife at separate tables now?
Honey, it's my 2 for 20 club night.
I think it's my 2 for 20 club night.
So grab your 2 for 20 club and savor inspired new favorites like tender chicken fettuccine carbonara and garden fresh bruschetta chicken. Or go for a classic like our 7-ounce house sirloin. That's one appetizer, two entrees, just $20.
Mom, Dad?
It's the freshest 2 for 20 yet, only at Applebee's. Now serving half-priced appetizers late night.
Everyone, and welcome to Ask Kathleen. It's June 10th, 8 o'clock p.m., 2012. Oh, my goodness. Every time I say 2012, I can't even believe it. It's 2012, everybody, and it's June. We are halfway through the year, so I hope you did everything that you wanted to do. If not, you got 6 more months cooking to get it happening. So anyway, welcome again to Ask Kathleen. It's Sunday night, 8 o'clock p.m., and I want to send a huge shout-out to my fabulous sister, Ronnie, who is here with me tonight. Hey, Ronnie.
Hey, halfway through the year.
Halfway through the year. Happy half new year.
Happy half new year. It's awesome. I love
and
it.
I wanted, I know, right? Happy half new year. And I wanted to thank you and Jerome Esprit of EspritNet News and EspritNet Radio, Soul of Syracuse and all that for doing an incredible show, as always. Thank you.
Oh, you're more than welcome anytime. We had a wonderful time. We missed you, though.
You were away
on assignment, and so we couldn't wait for you to come back.
Oh, thank you. I called in for like 2 seconds, but I couldn't stay on because I had to go back inside class. But you guys sound like you were having a ball. And I was like, they're having so much fun. I'm so glad they're having so much fun. But I wanted to hang out. I just couldn't. But I was so glad you all held it down. I knew you would.
Oh, yeah, we had a great time.
Yeah,
but we're glad you're back.
Thank you. Yeah, me too. I'm glad I'm back, too. So, hey, so how was your week? What's going on?
Well, the week has been pretty good, pretty productive. And, you know, I've been working on getting my networking and my I've been commissioned to rework my media and my social networking skills so that I can participate in 2012, move out of the 2009, 2010, 2011 realm, move into the 2012 and get really, you know, involved in social networking. So I've been doing that. And
how's that going?
It's going good. And, you know, I hired Sean to help me. But I haven't really sent him anything yet, but I'm working on that. So it's been really exciting. It's been going good.
Awesome. I'm so glad that you all connected so he can help you. He's really good.
Yeah, he told me he was really good. So, I'm going to send him some stuff at the beginning of the week, and hopefully, you know, by the end of this week, I'll be into 2012 and a half.
Well, you're close there. You're close there because you got your Facebook page. You have a Twitter account yet? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've had a Twitter account since Ashton Kutcher was
looking for a million users.
Yes. I've had a Twitter account since then, but do I tweet? No. So that's why I'm getting my tweets going. I've got my Instagram going, and I've got my Facebook page, which is, It's not. I haven't really, you know, I haven't massaged my Facebook page like I should. So I'm working on it.
Okay, so you know what I'm writing down too? Photos. You need those photos.
Yes.
Yeah. So I told you I would get you those when I got back. So
how was your week?
My week was. It was very. What's the best way to describe it? Action-packed because I came back Monday, right? No, Tuesday morning, and then I was scrambling to get a lot of work done and then had to be, do that little trip up to the Catskills for the weekend. I wanted to acknowledge and honor Forestdale Fatherhood Initiative. So, and thank them so much for inviting me to be their keynote speaker during the luncheon on yesterday at their annual retreat for the Fatherhood Initiative at Forestdale, it was awesome. It was really incredible. So they had some great speakers up there. They had some folks from the Department of Youth Council, I want to say it is, and so Kenny Braswell, the Fatherhood Initiative. I mean, he does some incredible work. And then Mr. Bobbitt was up there, and of course Scott Leach from Forestdale itself, and several fathers ranging in age from I want to say 17 years old on up. and they were doing some great work, doing, you know, some training with them and talking to them about a lot of issues, helping them understand how to be a great dad and some of the things that they'll have to just have to deal with as a dad, and some of the things that the fathers were dealing with, such as, you know, child support and child abuse and domestic violence and so forth. And, you know, some of the dads are mandated, some of them are not mandated, but two programs came together. And one of them out of the Bronx and the other one Farsdale, which is out of Queens. And these young men were really hungry for information and just lapped everything up, and it was awesome. Really
fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah, it was really good. So just shout out to Farsdale. Hey!
Wonderful.
Yeah, they had a great, absolutely great program. And, you know, definitely wanted to thank Scott Leach and the director of the Farsdale program, you know, for having me. Again, I spoke at their graduation earlier in the year, and they invited me back, so that was really cool. So for Farsdale and... Yeah,
now that's a round of applause.
Yeah. So it was a really busy week, you know, really busy week. Got some clients and stuff that I'm working hard with. So it was cool. But it was, you know, but awesome, you know, making progress, which is always wonderful.
That's always wonderful, yeah. Sounds good. Sounds great.
So let me see. What else is coming up that I needed to announce? We can talk about some more things, and I'm just going to pull up what other things are coming up in the next... Let me make a couple of announcements. Today is the 10th. So tomorrow, Monday, June 11th, at the Springfield Community Church, located at 17706 129th Avenue, the Queens chapter of the National Action Network. That is the National Action Network. We know that organization, founded by the Reverend Al Sharpton. They're the Queens chapter, and they are having a fellowship night tomorrow evening at Springfield Church, again, 17706 129th Avenue. That's right off Merritt Boulevard and 129th Avenue in Queens. It starts at 6 o'clock. It'll go from 6 to 9. It's a potluck, so bring some food and make sure it's really yummy.
What is that?
That brings the food and makes it really yummy.
So Al Sharpton really does have a church. It was one of my biggest questions in my whole...
That's not his church. That is actually the Springfield Community Church is a church here in Queens. So Reverend Sharpton is in Manhattan. So, but there's National Action Network chapters all around the country, and there is a chapter in Manhattan, of course, and a chapter in Queens, I want to say, is now in its second year or second and a half year. So they're just doing a fellowship night. They're getting started with the new administration, and the new president, the new incoming president, is Reverend Phil Craig. And they've got a whole new administration starting out with some new stuff, so we can look forward to some interesting things coming out of Queens NAN this year. And I am actually the chair of the Public Relations Committee for a Queens chapter of National Action Network. Yay! And on Wednesday, there is going to be a student loan workshop at York College. And the what I have for information, they said all day. So I'm not really sure of the start and end times, but if you have outstanding student loans, if you have any problems with student loans, any issue or need student loans, any issues around student loans, York College on Wednesday at the Performing Arts Center, that's June 13th. And then on Thursday, June 14th, is the New York City Dads Matter Awards. New York City Dads Matter Awards, and that is going to be in Manhattan. If you didn't vote for a dad who is in the city of New York to have them win one of these fabulous awards, this is the second annual year for this awards program. You'll have to look out for it for next year. But we sent it out. It went out all over the place, and there will be 10 fabulous dads that were nominated. They went through a review and selection committee of which I'm a part, and we have selected 10 dads who will be honored by none other than Mayor Michael Bloomberg and and the administration of the city of New York for being incredible dads for in the
city. Are they
going to
have sodas? That was terrible. I don't know why I said that.
Did you say that?
I can't believe
really say that.
I did.
I don't believe you said that they're going to have soda.
I don't believe I said it.
I'm not going to ask him either. You
move right along.
Oh, that's just crazy. Okay. Moving right along. And on Sunday, June 17th, a very good friend of mine, Minister Gary Bird, at 11 a.m., will be delivering a sermon at 2190 Adam Clayton Powell Boulevard. That's on 7th Avenue. So 11 a.m. Sunday, January 17th, a friend of mine, Gary Bird, not the Gary Bird, the DJ, but a friend of mine, Gary Bird, is going to be ministering on Sunday at 2190 Adam Clayton Powell Boulevard, 11 a.m. at 7th Avenue. And let me see, what else is coming up? Primary, the election primary, everybody, in New York, June 26th. You want to go out. It's the federal primary day, so make sure you go out and vote. That's going to be awesome. And then again, on June 25th, Queens Nan is having their meeting at Calvary Baptist Church, and we're going to be discussing credit and laws around credit. So there's been some fabulous workshops, you know, stop and frisk stuff and really informational programs. And I've been doing some mortgage workshops and so forth as well. For the Queens Nan, they're free. We're talking about disclosures. We're talking about foreclosures. We're talking about modifications and all those incredible things that are going to be really important to the community. So that's it right now for announcements. So I have a free-for-all coming in. Oh, hey, Katie Davis is saying hello, beautiful ladies. Hello, beautiful lady. How are you? Thanks for joining us and hanging out here on Ask Kathleen. It's wonderful to have you. And so, Ronnie, what's up for on Ronnie's Rave? What do you have on tonight since we're doing a free-for-all? What are we talking about? What do you have?
Oh, well, I wanted to talk about Bobby Christina.
Oh, what's going on with Bobby Christina? You know, I was in the mountains. I didn't keep up.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So she's go. You want me to go now or just
yeah,
go
yeah,
for
yeah.
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Go ahead. Oh, okay. Well, okay. So she was working on a Tyler Perry sitcom. And I'm sorry, the name of it escapes me. I didn't jot down the name of the sitcom. I'll check right now. Anyway, so she's working on this sitcom. And, you know, I was really excited about that because I had heard that her family was going to be having a talk show. I'm sorry, reality show.
Yeah, yeah,
so
I heard
gonna,
that.
You know, yeah, and I actually was glad to hear that because I thought maybe that would be something that would give them all, you know, a common bond, something to do, you know, make a couple of dollars and maybe heal a bit, you know?
Right, okay.
And, yeah, I did, because I would rather hear that she's on a reality show than to hear that she's, you know, running around town with this guy and that guy and still getting, you know, loaded and that kind of stuff, leaving herself to her own devices. She's really too young to be just out there. And,
how old is she?
She's 19.
Right, okay.
Right, mm-hmm. That's still young. Especially when you were, you know, you and your mom were close like she was.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, not locked together at the hip.
Exactly. So I thought it was really good. Anyway, so she's on the set and she has a breakdown.
On the set of the movie?
Yeah, on the set of the sitcom. She breaks down, and she now, it's not a movie, it's a sitcom.
The House of Pain or Meet the Browns or a new one he's doing? Is he doing
another
one?
Yeah, here it is. It's, I'm going to tell you what the name of it is right now. It's a Tyler Perry set she was on.
It's
Anyway, so she's on the Tyler Perry set. She breaks down. She's, you know, I can't go on right now. Oh God. So
then he's got moms, right? He's got the Meet the Browns with that
right.
crazy guy that wears the clown suits, and he's got House of Pain with Alan Payne and what's the girl from Rudy from
right.
Bill the Cosby Show, right? What's her real name? Rudy's name.
And the guy that
Eva used to date that she was supposed to be marrying.
Okay, what's Rudy's real name?
Yeah.
Again,
you don't remember?
I wasn't a big Cosby watcher, so I don't remember her name right off the top of my head. I really
right,
don't.
Cosby?
That's a terrible thing, but I don't.
You're a Cosby watcher.
I didn't watch that show really a lot. Here and there.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Keisha Knight Pulliam.
Keisha Knight Pulliam, yeah. I would never remember that right off the bat. I remember Lisa Bonet and Malcolm and all those, but yeah. Anyway, so she's on this show, and she's doing her, you know, her lines and so forth, and the next thing you know, she has a breakdown, and then she tells him, okay, I can't go on. And she needs some time. And then she comes back and says, I just can't do it. So it's too soon, I guess, for her.
Yeah.
And so when I'm reading this, the people on the blogs were just so cruel. Who cares? Why does anybody feel sorry for her? You know, what's the big deal? She needs to get back to work and forget about sitting around. She didn't look like she was having a hard time when she was laying up with this guy. You know, just really negative. And so, I didn't understand that mentality, and I don't understand how cruel people can be. And I totally get her having a breakdown.
Yeah,
you know?
So do I.
Yeah, because maybe, like, February, March, April, May, June is a little bit soon. It's a little bit soon. Yeah.
I'm not overweight.
It's soon. I think it's too soon. I really do now. I thought that I didn't hear that the reality show was already they had already started taping or any of that kind of stuff. But what I was thinking was that for her to be on a set might have been a good idea. But if she's not prepared, not ready yet, then she needs to go and, you know what I mean, take the time
yeah.
that it takes to mourn and really get herself back together. Because that was, it would be different if her mom had been ill or not that that makes any difference, but if there was some type of warning that, oh, your mom's ill, so this is a possibility. But this was just, her mom just checked out. No warning, no anybody giving me a clue, nobody would in their right mind, even us knowing as adults, knowing that Whitney did have a problem, so it was a possibility that it could happen, was shocked. So for her, this is a bit, and I would hope that other people would see how, you know, losing your mother is really, really devastating. So I remember when Mom passed away, I was working at a store, which I'd never worked in a store before, but this time I was working at the store, and it was New Year's, and I called up the owner, and it was a twofold thing. A, I didn't really want to be on in the store on New Year's night by myself. I was going to have to work. It was going to be there, and it was New Year's night. And B, I was still not feeling that great. You know, I was thinking it was only from September to January. So I told her, I said, you know what, right, New Year's is a touchy time for me right now. I just don't think I can handle being there, you know. And she said, oh, you need to just get over it.
I remember you told me that.
Yeah. And that hurt.
It was cruel.
People are cruel. They don't care. All they think about is themselves, really. But she said, you need to get over it. You know, how long are you going to go on like that? I mean, you have a job to do, so either you get there to the job or you're fired. I say, well, you know what? I'll just do us both a favor. So I totally understand where Bobby's coming from, and I hope that people would kind of give her. And I'm grown, so she's a teenager. She's really young.
Yeah.
She's really
well,
that time, and she should
yeah,
take
what
that time.
I don't think you heard, but I was saying that I have not gotten over Whitney Houston's death.
Oh, no, I didn't hear you. No. Who?
I haven't gotten over it yet, so I don't know how you could expect her daughter to get over it. And, you know, listen.
Yeah.
We didn't even talk about Mommy's birthday pass, so come on now, really.
Yeah, really, I didn't talk about it.
It's still very, very painful. It's still very painful. And
I didn't want to talk about it at all.
Come on. And to have it happen the way it happened, and like you said, with just being a total shock, and she's in the prime of her life, and just making some transitions and so forth, and everybody's getting this tremendous hope up, and she's getting ready to do a movie, and, you know, all this stuff is like, what? What?
Yeah.
You know, and again,
take the time out and, yeah, take the time out. Let herself, right?
Yeah, I'm very impressed with her that she is doing her best to work and to do, you know, to get herself busy, moving, occupied, you know. She's got some tremendous people in the industry that are backing her 100% and giving her support. So she's trying, and I really admire that in a 19-year-old. I really do. So any support that we can give Bobby Christina, we love you, girl. Hang in there. Don't pay attention to anybody talking about you.
Yeah.
Don't.
And if she decides to go back, then she does, you know.
Yes.
Oh,
yep.
They said that, okay, now I'm reading here on Zimbio. I never heard of this. Zimbio.com says, Tyler Perry says the rumors are reported by Radar Online that Bobby Christina walked off the set of Lies. So
yeah, right. He said she finished what she had committed to do.
Oh, okay.
So I don't, you know, but people are saying that she didn't, so he was responding to that. So she's so beautiful. She's really, really a very pretty young lady. But so they say that she was at the Billboard Awards and tearful there, and of course she is. Did her mom win an award? Is that why she was there?
They had a tribute. I didn't watch it, though.
Okay.
I didn't get a chance to watch the Billboard. I think we were we on the radio that night or something? I believe so.
Yeah,
so I didn't get to watch. Yeah, but anyway,
yeah.
Whatever show, I still don't see the name of this show.
Oh, yeah, I had it just a second ago. For Better or For Worse?
Yeah.
Yeah, For Better or For Worse.
Yeah,
so
anyway. Yeah, give her a chance. You
yep.
know, and then and somebody else was like, oh, she's going to be... she's going to be on drugs anyway, whatever. People are just hideous.
Oh, God, I can't take it.
Just get a life. She goes somewhere and with that, you know. You don't know what she's going to do. Mind your business. And don't try to put that on her. You know what I mean? Let the girl grow up. It's tough enough just living in this world. Never mind without your parents and without... And then the whole world scrutinizing. Mind your business and pray that she does well. That's what I want to hear from people. Praying for her to do well. That we all love her and we've got support for her and that somebody will stand behind her. And I know Oprah, if she's in Tyler Perry Oprah company, she's doing well. She's going to be good.
Yep. Okay, so what else we got?
Well, then what else did I have? Oh, then I had the the Gwyneth Paltrow. The Gwyneth Paltrow N-word extravaganza for the week. So she's at the Jay-Z concert in Paris, which I would have loved to be at the Jay-Z concert in Paris. I'm just saying. I would have done whatever it took to get to the Jay-Z concert in Paris. And so she's there, and so she tweets, and I, you know what, in Paris, right? So everybody's in an uproar. Everybody's in a mad, I mean, just going berserk about it. And so Russell Simmons comes to her aid. People come to her aid because that's the name of the song. Okay. So in my opinion, that shouldn't be the name of the song anyway. So why are you getting mad at her for saying what you say anyway? So then people are like, okay, this is our deal. We just don't want white people to say it. I don't know why not.
Uh-oh.
I would rather
you're
them
on
just...
your own now.
No, I'd rather just go ahead and let them say it because they're saying it anyway. Because if you're saying it, they're saying it.
And they're singing it.
And they're singing it.
Yeah.
I was, honestly, I was in. Huh? They're buying the music. You know I'm not buying it. So they're buying it. Well, that's not true. I actually did not buy Watch the Throne, but I buy some Jay-Z music here and there. It's been a while. But the thing is, they're buying a lot of the music. So they are. People are saying, oh, yeah, you know. So where does she get the right? Do we think it's cool? We shouldn't. Why? We don't want them to say it. We can say it, but they can't say it. And I don't get it. I don't get it. I never have. I think that word should be, in my opinion, the word should be used. It should not be used. I don't use it. I don't think it should be used. I think when they put it away, it should have stayed away.
Well, that was always the argument, that everyone was saying that, you know, nobody should use it. That's why they started all of those campaigns to get people to stop using it, to get the rappers to stop using it, to, you know, just get them to have some respect for the concept that the word is very degrading. And it's degrading no matter how you want to use it, whether you want to say it's a term of endearment or whatever it is, it's just come on, get over it, stop it. And they
you're out of your
stop
mind
it.
If you think that's a term of endearment. You're crazy.
They won't stop
they
it.
Use,
so.
They use it for shock factor. And, okay, I don't mean to yell, but they're, and okay, this is my, I could be wrong. And probably Jerome will come on and have some other quantum leap explanation for why we shouldn't be saying negative things. But, listen, my take on it is that they use it for shock factor, and it has worked. Because
yeah,
when they go
yeah.
to the studios, 99% of the studios are not owned by the rappers.
Right.
They go in the studio to record that music. Their engineers are not black. Not all of them, but a lot of the engineers are not black. The people that they're buying the studio time from are not black. A lot of the producers, the executive, you know, executive, the CEOs of the company, the record companies and all that, they're not all black. So they hear this music. They hear
right.
the content.
Right.
And so
they
go ahead and they give you the record deals and let you record that craziness.
And if you record
you
it.
And pay you billions of dollars. Yep. And so the rest of the kids come along and think that's cool. It's great.
And they
yes.
make money. They do it because they're making money on it.
So why don't you see what we don't, why don't we see that? You know, that's what I don't get about.
Yeah,
those,
yeah, yeah, yeah. I see.
You know what I mean? That's what I don't get about the up-and-coming youth of today. See, when we were growing up, you wouldn't call anybody that. That was a fight.
Yeah, but what I get it, though. I get why they do it. One, if the record companies are making money and they're going to exploit it and put it out there because they know it'll sell because of the shock value, if the record companies are making money, then the rappers are making money, you know? And the record companies are going to go after what's going to make them money. So the more they put shocking stuff in the music, the more deals they're going to get, the more money they're going to get, the more they get out there, and it's just a vicious cycle. So
sorry about that. Well, my point is that you don't see that you're being exploited from a different angle. You don't see that.
Go ahead. I was going to say that the way we used to look at exploitation is totally different. But even the movies that were considered black exploitation movies back in the day, they never stopped them. It didn't stop anybody from going to see them, and they continued to make them until they just kind of went out of style.
Right. So this is the newfangled black exploitation.
That's what it is. That's what it seems like. The videos, the music, the shock value, the N-word, all that stuff. It is. I would go on record as saying, yes, this is the new black exploitation. That's
because I don't see Justin Bieber. He doesn't have to say, he doesn't have to make exploitive comments to sell a record.
Well, are you saying that because he's a white artist?
Justin Bieber?
Yeah, you're saying that he doesn't have to, I mean, why are you using him? Because he's a white artist?
He's a white artist, and he sells gazillions of records.
Right, but they didn't
have to do that. He doesn't have to use Selena Gomez. I never heard her use any derogatory language to sell a record.
But what about the I understand what you're saying. I definitely understand what you're saying, but I don't really recall white exploitation movies either. I mean, I just don't remember seeing anything with white exploitation that was being that was a tremendous sale. Even back in the day, even when we were looking at black exploitation movies, I didn't see that. So I wouldn't imagine that they would have to go to that now to sell music either. You know?
No.
Right. So I don't know that it applies in that sense. And I really don't even have the statistics to look at it to say that, okay, he's making that much more money or whatever. But what I do know that seems similar to me, and you can correct me if I'm wrong because you will know more about this than I. What seems similar to me is what we used to see, like, for example, what we saw in Cadillac Records and all those other movies about Motown and the music industry. When the black artist came out with a great song, a lot of the record companies would take the song, give it to a white group, have them do it over, and that would be the song that would sell, and the black artist would just be out of pocket. Now, from what I understand with Justin Bieber, is he not he's working with Usher, no?
Right. Yeah, he's an Usher. Usher, I guess, gave him his, I don't know if he's on Usher's record company or something like that, but he was his mentor, and I believe he did give him record deal, but I could be wrong about that. But I definitely know he mentored him through, you know, getting his career started. He was the one that he and Justin Timberlake vied for the record deal, Justin Bieber decided to go with Usher, which I thought was smart. So, okay, so in that sense, you know, that's a good thing because then you see the blending and the melding of the artists. I love that. I love to see all the artists working together. You know, I think it's fantastic. But what I mean is that why do we have to be down dirty in the gutter and love it? We love it. The worse, the raunchier it is, the better.
Because it's going to take a lot to reform, if you will, or transform, maybe a better word, the music industry for the, you know, the black artists. It seems like there's one or two ways that you have to go. You have very few Whitneys and Jennifer Hudsons that, you know, black women that, and Chaka Khans. I mean, who's the Chaka Khan of this era? Who is the Dionne Warwick of this era? We only had Whitney, right? So, I mean, it takes so much to gain such tremendous stardom as a, who's the Luther Vandross of this era? We don't even have people that are moving into that kind of stardom who are not, you know, if they're not in the R&B, the hip-hop, the, what do we call it, you know, shocking music. We just hit, what was his name?
Will Downing?
Will Downing and, you know, some of these other artists. It just takes so much, it seems. I mean, I could sit here. We got Eric Benet. We got Brian McKnight. We've got, you know, a few other artists. But R. Kelly, and I don't know if he's got anything out new lately. But, you know, and R. Kelly is still, he's got his own kind of shock, but still, and I think Brian McKnight came out with something that was very controversial. So
yeah, the other day I heard it.
Yeah,
I heard about it on the radio.
So we don't have that Luther, you know, and that kind of talent as well. It doesn't seem to be taken off. I'm not going to say it doesn't exist, but we're not really seeing that kind of talent. So it seems like the guys that are making money in music. Now, they've transcended music, thank God. So, you know, Sean Combs has all kinds of lines now, liquor, clothing, watches, this, that, and the other. Jay-Z is in basketball and has his hand in everything. 50 Cent has vitamin water and whatever else he's going to do.
I think it's also magnificent. They're following Magic Johnson's footsteps. I think it's fantastic.
Thank God, because what else are they going to do? You know, where else are they going to really establish empires if they're not transcending out? And I think it's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. But I guess my point is that to be a artist that's crossing pop charts, making that kind of an impact on the music scene, being a crossover artist like a Luther Vandross or something like that and keeping it clean and so forth, unless they all do it and the communities that follow them are willing to follow their lead and buy it anyway, it doesn't pay for them to do that if they're going to stay in the music industry. I'm not condoning it. It's just my observation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know?
Okay. Do you think that she was out of... Did she cross the line? That's my question. You think she crossed the line when she said it? I personally think that she crossed the line, but I think that the line was already out. They'd already smushed the line out, in my opinion. They've already let everybody over the line, you know, because I know that the people say it all the time. I hear them in their cars, listen to the music. I hear them singing. I know that there's really no line. The rappers, they don't really care who's, you know, nobody was mad at her for saying it. That's in their quote unquote company. You know, that's on the level of social, on that social level. Nobody thinks it was a big deal. It's the rest of us that think it was a big deal. Personally, I didn't really think it was a big deal because I didn't think, why are you going to be upset with her if you say it? You know somebody's going to slip up and say it for the shock factor. Why? Because now we're talking about her. Nobody's talking about how great the concert was. They're talking about what she said about it. Very smart on her part, actually.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, he went to the concert and took the shine from them by making that comment, tweeting it, and then, you know, the concert, everybody said the concert was just crazy. It was awesome. But what are we talking about? We're talking about her.
Well,
and is anybody
I
really about her? Hmm?
Yeah, you asked me, do I think she crossed the line? I think they've all crossed the line. I think, you know, like you said, that I agree that it should be eliminated, XYZ. I really do agree with that. But, you know, I haven't really spent a whole lot of time looking at what, you know, but I do agree. I think it's something that should be eliminated. I would love to see a movement take place, or I'd love to just, they don't even need a movement. All I got to do is change the language. I mean, you know, come on. If everybody stopped, what are they going to stop making music? They would
say something else.
You know, they continue to make music. But so long as a few of them are doing it, you know, if they wanted to all get together and stop, they could do it. But, you know, I'm not buying it anyway. So, I do feel a little disappointment that they haven't gotten that message. But, hey, we keep it moving. And I think that Mr. Esprit is on the line. Jerome, is that you?
Hi, Kathleen. Why did you bring me on as soon as I put some food in my mouth? Thank you. Hey, Ronnie.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good.
What are you eating? I'm hungry.
Well, unfortunately, they're like animal crackers. Just snack. It's not really food.
Oh, okay.
You know, I have
how
to
you
eat,
doing,
like,
Jerome?
I'm well. How have you been?
I'm great, thank you. And I sent you shout-outs, you and Ronnie, for doing an incredible job.
You heard that,
like,
huh?
Yeah, you're
Ronnie,
hot.
She still sounds happy.
I know.
Ronnie and I thought we were going to get banned, so don't worry about it.
I did think we were going to get banned.
You all are bad. You do get 50 lashes, but I'm not banning you because you're
good
for ratings.
Okay.
For ratings.
we're going to have to negotiate down to 25.
If you didn't hear them last, you need to go back and check them out, right? But true. So how you doing, Jerome? What's up?
I'm well. You know, I came in. You're talking about the Gwyneth Paltrow stuff, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
About what is it, about her using the N-word and naming the song?
That's correct.
Okay. I just thought it was interesting. I didn't, I mean, you guys, I think we've talked about this before, know what I think about that. I mean, I still have, I think there's no double standard in using the N-word. To me, personally, I think as adults, we should probably look at that a little differently just to say, you know, language works like this. Call a black person in, N-word, get hit in your mouth. I mean, I think we
didn't
just
I
have
say
to let
that?
It go.
I said that. In my day, that was a fight. It was a fight.
I'm just saying, you know what? I said that before, and I was on this station, a Clear Channel station, and it's Fox syndicated news stuff, and, you know, very conservative station. And something happened with the N-word a long time ago. And they brought the same thing up. So all of these older folks is calling in. If you're not going to use the N-word, I don't see what the big deal is. And none of them are black, mind you. So I said, I don't care if you use the N-word, but if you use it around me, I'm going to punch you in the mouth. Now work it out. Because language works like this. If you say you're hot, we put on air conditioning. You say you're cold, or you say you're cold, get an extra jacket. You call somebody the N-word, you're going to see what you're going to get from that.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Language is very kind of specific. So if you're not talking to somebody who's receiving your words like you intended, then you're going to stop using that word.
Yay!
Oh. No, I thought that would be a little bit harsh for the show, but, you know, honestly, I kind of think we kind of got to get over it that way. They shouldn't be, you know... She should be responsible as an adult. Gwyneth Paltrow, Eminem doesn't use the N-word. And white folks who hang around black folks only do that around black folks. But I'm telling you, once she gets out of the confines of Jay-Z, somebody's going to hit her in the mouth, and she's going to go, what do you mean? And just go, oh, I'm sorry, you use the N-word. And people don't
actually
feel it like that.
Because, like I said, she did it for the shock factor. Because... everybody's talking about her instead of talking about how hot the concert was.
I think she did it because she's naive, though. That's the thing about
somebody said that they probably the only two black people she knows, her Beyonce and Jay-Z, and that's because they're super rich. But
well, she tweeted the name of the song, and that's what
the name of the song. Yeah, she tweeted the name of the song.
Uh-huh.
She tweeted
the name of the song?
Ends in Paris. And it's a
right.
hot song. I hate to say it, but it is.
You know what? I never heard it. But she tweeted the name of the song, but she is not exempt. And I was just speaking to someone about this earlier today. Once you assume a leadership role or you're in the public eye, there's some sort of stature or responsibility that you have. You know, I was telling someone, I've done a lot of political campaigns, and I've been around hundreds of people in, like, fundraisers that I have no clue of. And so I am in this I went to this huge grocery store probably, I don't know, 50 minutes, an hour away from my house, and I walk in, and no black folks are out there, and this little old lady comes up to me and goes, "Is your name Jerome?" And I went, "I can't steal." I mean, I don't steal, but even it's not an option no more. I've been a black person in a bunch of white rooms, and I can't recognize everybody. So now there's some responsibility that comes with having some kind of notoriety. If you don't realize that, somebody needs to tell you. You can't do things like that. So Gwyneth Paltrow cannot do things that's going to cause uproar because although she's living in a bubble, it's going to affect her somehow.
She's in the bubble, so she's got a bodyguard, so we'll see what happens.
Okay, but what's going to happen?
And Gwyneth, you don't know, now you know.
Exactly.
Now you know.
Right, because she's going to go out and do a little show, and some the white kid's going to say, "Well, Gwyneth Paltrow said it, and I got beat up in elementary school."
Exactly.
So she's going to feel the responsibility of her words. It may not happen to her, but she's still affecting other people.
Right. What about her kids?
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. When you don't grow up around black folks and you just know a couple of black folks, you think that's okay. You know, I have another story about this. Someone was running for office, a white female, and she said to me one day, she said, "You know, sisters don't like it when," I said, "Ha, what did you just say?" Now, she has other black friends, and I said, "Don't you ever say that around me again. I said, first of all, it don't sound right coming out your mouth. And secondly, we ain't cool like that. You ain't grew up around black folks that use terms like that. What is wrong with you?" Right? You're trying to relate to black folks, and it is going to get you hit in the mouth. Right? People can see people when they're disingenuous. And I'm not advocating violence. Send your comments not to Kathleen. Don't ask her. But it is very kind of fundamental. You get the responses that you ask for. And people don't like to be accountable, but they want black people to be accountable. It's really odd.
Well, the thing is, like, and you know it, and I know it, wouldn't go into the company of a white person and say, you white people are like, oh, my God. So, so airing it, we wouldn't do it. We wouldn't.
Right.
I mean, we make fun. And things like that, but we don't make derogatory comments. Like, okay, remember what happened to Tracy Morgan when he made that comment?
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be a comedy. It was a joke, supposedly. And I mean, they all but ripped him in. And look, I was waiting for them to put a cross up. Do you remember that comment he made?
Yeah.
Hey,
Kathleen, do you remember what he said?
No, I don't remember. What did he say?
No, I remember when he got in trouble. I don't know what words he said, but
if his son ever came home and said he was gay,
that's right. Mhm.
Yeah, he would beat the you know what out of him.
I think that's hilarious. But
but nobody else did.
Okay, again, there are culture differences. And nobody likes to admit that. I don't know what the big deal of black folks having a culture is to black folks and to white folks. Black folks get all upset and all in a, you know, we don't get in a frenzy. That's white folks stuff. They get all touched, and we just get judgmental. But
right.
The truth is, it's just like you know, here would be my controversial thing of the day, Tracy Morgan. Anywho, it's like when someone says there was a gay rights parade or what, I forgot what it's called, and they were scheduling it on the same day they had a Juneteenth parade. And I thought, how disrespectful is that, right? And so I was doing radio, and the person hosting the show at the time said, you're not saying gay people shouldn't have a show, have their parade. And my response to that is, I didn't say nothing, right? First of all, I don't have to justify it one way or another to say black people should have something of what other people should or should not have. We don't stand up as leaders and as representatives of the black community just to be definitive on our manhood and masculinity sometimes, just to say, black folks have something over here. It don't mean we like you or dislike you over there. They don't do that when they have Greek Fest, Irish Fest, October Fest. They don't do that for any other culture. No. But black folks have to love everybody. It doesn't mean we don't love you.
Right, and we have to love Gwyneth Paltrow when she said what she said.
And again,
and actually, Jay-Z should have checked her.
Exactly. That was his responsibility to check her. And I'm not saying that he didn't.
We don't know if he did or he didn't, but he should definitely should have. Or Kanye, somebody should have checked her. Like, okay.
You know what? I believe Beyonce probably did.
Huh?
I believe
Would
Beyonce
you say Kathleen?
How are they going to check her? They said it. That's the name of the song. How are they going to check her? They might have paid her to do it.
Kathleen, stop.
I don't think they would go that far, but you never know.
No, all I'm saying is that Beyonce probably would have pulled her to the side and said, look, you need to watch using the N-word. Because Beyonce didn't grow up away from black people either.
No,
not
at all.
You know what I mean? She was in Houston. She still was around black folks. So technically, that is pretty fresh in Texas to have white folks step out of bounds to cultural stuff.
Exactly. Without a doubt.
But let me ask, I want to know why you guys think it's so crazy of me to say that they might have asked her to do that.
I didn't say it was crazy. I said they might have. Kanye West might do anything.
You know why? Because Ronnie and I had a good conversation. We changed the nature of your show last week.
Oh, yeah.
And I gave her, and Kathleen knows this because Kathleen and I talk about this often, and I was talking about quantum stuff and not playing devil's advocate and not trying to put other things out in the universe when it's not necessary. So to say that she may have done something is to blame Jay-Z for getting the white girl to do something when her butt shouldn't have did it. We can't blame him. We don't know that. And so we shouldn't automatically assume negative on someone else just for her benefit. That's kind of like protecting Paltrow.
Right, I would see that. That's
yeah,
the
I'm
same
not saying
thing.
You did it on purpose, but we do that naturally. Like when we...
Yeah, that's the same thing that I just read a... actually, someone is doing a show right now. Not right now. She did it earlier today. About domestic violence and what she was saying is so many black women are jumping on the bandwagon to say that it was okay for Pastor Creflo Dollar to beat his daughter, and so what she's saying is that why is it that so many black women are jumping on this and saying it's okay because it was him. Trying to make it sound like it was right and blaming black women for this incident that happened, you know, whatever. So it's kind of like twisting that around.
Lost me.
Yeah.
Blaming black women.
I'm with you, Roddy. I was like, huh?
Yes, they're saying that black women are in support of, because black women are in support of Pastor Dollar, black women are saying that it's okay to abuse black women and girls. That's what the...
Okay. Well, first of all, he came to church and he said, hey, I'm a black man, so we got to understand he's a black man in the South. Let's not forget that. Let's just start there. So you know that he said, you know good and well, I didn't punch my daughter in her face.
Right.
I did not choke my daughter either. And she didn't have any marks on her either. And I shouldn't have been arrested either. And I believe him. But I also have daughters.
Uh-oh. All right, wind it back there, Ronnie. No,
I'm just joking. I'm going to quantum myself right out of that.
That's right. Like, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. I knew you were going.
I was like, I ain't going with you. I am not going with you. All I'm going to say is I have nieces.
Yeah, we all love very much. Back up
all love very much.
Love them. I love them dearly, my nieces. I love them.
Yeah, and you know, do you know how we know we love them?
Because
they made it past 15.
But, okay, all right. So I didn't mean to stray from this, but all the pastor is right generally about this, right? Everybody gets too sensitive to black folks' stuff. And I've only seen it from a distance. I didn't read all of the stories. But from my understanding is that she hit him and he hit her with a shoe. And so I'm thinking if that's all he got, like, you can't let your 15-year-old beat you up. There is no such thing as parent abuse. And if he would have let her go out of the house like that, they would have been like, how is he raising his child if he can't control her? Now, everybody knows this is – generally, women on women with little girls, they turn an age to where they think they're the woman of the house. So I'm sure you guys have, Ronnie, you experienced that. And with guys, they normally test the guy. So you have to beat your child down at some point.
Sometimes it happens. I have a nephew that survived.
Exactly. That's all I'm saying. Like,
barely.
You're going to.
Huh?
He wouldn't do that to his mother, though.
Barely.
That's different.
He barely survived. Well, his aunt was there. His aunt was there.
Okay. See? That's all I'm saying. And so we have to be a little bit more, we have to know that there's culture differences and that you can't push back. That's why black people ended up raising white kids when they were little. They were like the nannies. They were disciplinarians. Like, and so in the South, they were like, oh, I can't do anything with her. Could you handle her? And the black person was like, would you sit your butt down? That's why. It's because it's like, you know what, technically, I can't sit there and talk to you all day because when you're young and you don't have enough information, your only thing that you know is your hormones and what you're feeling.
Yeah.
And once you get your courage up with all of that energy, you got to watch out for kids.
Right.
I mean, you watch these kids, these little Columbine kids and folks that are fighting their parents and stuff, and you're like, how do they get that far? Because black people beat their kids when they little.
Kathleen, remember when, Jerome, you're going to love this story. Some guy comes to visit my daughter from...
Oh, my...
Do you remember that? We're out...
Remember that.
I believe, how could you forget? He's coming to visit my daughter.
Ronnie, hold on. Before you go there, and I know I'm the lawyer, but I'm going to deflect this to Jerome. Jerome, what's the statute of limitations?
Okay. statute of limitations for what? That's what I'll have to ask. Never mind. Go ahead.
Child abuse.
Let's just say it was a friend. It was your neighbor's friend.
No, we didn't abuse either of them. But, Ronnie, go ahead, because this was an unbelievable story, really.
It's an unbelievable story. So he comes to visit her, and I didn't know who he was, and neither one of us knew who this guy was. And he said, I'm coming to visit Coco. And so we're like, really, you are? Well, she's not home from school. Well, I'm just going to wait. And I said, no, you're not, because when she comes home from school, she's not going to be visiting with you. First of all, I don't know who you are. And secondly, she's got things to do. Well, I said, I'm waiting. Remember him?
I remember. I know what he had on. I remember him.
Oh, man.
I wasn't going to go into what he had on, but if you want to go into what he had on, you could go.
I won't go all the way there, but let's say that it let us know that this was going to be a very serious issue. Say that.
He was dressed like that.
His attire, Dick, let us know immediately who we were dealing with. Let's say that.
Okay.
It was going to be a problem. And we decided that we don't care what you're dressed like, what color you have on, where you came from, what side of town you came from, what your area code is. You're not going to tell us what you're going to do. You're leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
And he left. But I watch so many kids terrorize their parents. And I don't understand what's where, you know, I've gotten a little off of it, but what I'm trying to say what I want to say in defense of the pastor and his situation is that we can't let the kids get to a point where they decide what goes on in the house, because that's where they're pushing the line to. They're pushing the line, and they think that you're scared to go to jail.
Well, okay, first of all, nobody should be going to jail, and that's part of what the problem is anyway. Right?
That's a big problem. But they do, and what kids don't understand is that when you put yourself in that position, you open up your home, your household, to all types of demonic energy, because they could have came in your house and shot everybody and said, oh, everybody was hostile. The kid had a knife. You know, they can do whatever they want to do once you open the doors. And kids don't realize that when they're just trying to get their point across and get to a party, that they are putting their lives in jeopardy, that they could be taken and put into foster care. You know,
that's
a lot of different negative connotations, a lot of different negative aspects to I'm calling the cops on you because you hit me.
Right.
Yeah, we had parents that hit, and we wouldn't even consider. First of all, I like to eat. I know my parents bought groceries every week.
Exactly. You know, and you know what?
I like heat. I like hot water. My parents was not going to jail.
Now, you know what my biggest threat was when I was little? My aunt would always say, I have never hit you in your life, but... And that was it. That's all she really had to say.
All you had to say.
Because you really didn't want her to snap, but you didn't after a while think she was going to hit you, but you could never believe that she wouldn't, right? Because even if she had to bluff that, there was a little bit in you that said, she could possibly, you know, make it happen there. You know
don't
what I mean?
Push it.
We didn't have doubt. We there was no doubt in my mind what
no,
was going to happen. When I dialed 911, I don't even, if I were, I think it was O at the time. It was operator or something. I don't know if it was 911.
Yeah.
But I had absolutely no doubt what was going to happen. My mother told me, she didn't even smoke, right? But I had this picture of her sitting outside on the front step, smoking a cigarette, waiting for, with the phone in her hand, waiting for the cops
to come. She'll pick you up.
Cigarette in one hand, handcuffs in the other, to hand it to the cops when they got there. Because she's like, if you take me in. And yes, I beat her down.
Exactly. And you know the worst part, in our neighborhood, you had to wait till the cops get there.
That's right.
Oh, right. I think I got that. I think I got that one time when my mother said, you can call them, but by the time they get in, you better be packing about this piece. Like, she wasn't really... We didn't really play with her like that, but my brother did every now and then. He would say, there's an 800 number. She's like, yeah, by the time you get through four numbers, good luck. That was rotary phone time back then. There was no speed dial.
I forgot about that because when you call the cops from where we were, it was what? How long was it going to be? So by the time they arrived, people could have packed up. Well, we weren't in California, so they couldn't pack up the whole house on a truck and move it. But they could have
got a pizza.
Gone.
Whole house. Gone.
They could have ordered something to go. Pizza man would have delivered it, everything.
Please. But the, you know,
their name, passports, and just been gone, done.
But for them for people to say that we're black women are condoning that he should punch his daughter, nobody would think for one second that he would punch his daughter. We know was a lie.
I didn't think he did.
No, that's
lie. Because I'm like, all these years married to Taffy Dollar. I mean, I have been watching Pastor Dollar since shortly after he started. So that's got to be almost 30. Is it almost 30 years?
Yeah.
Something like that. been out there for a long time, and he has been spotless. Now, talk about his preaching and prosperity message or whatever you want to say, but one thing you can't say is there has been anything else that, you know, as far as social aspect or accusations or anything out of that humongous church. And I'm sure if there was something there, something would have come up. I mean, a humongous church.
Oh, no, they did an investigation on his finances, a congressional investigation on his finances and all that, and they couldn't come up with anything, but they're watching him, all that foolishness that they do. But, yeah, then, you know, they watch him, but then they don't have anything to say about the mafia.
Right. But he makes too much money. I mean, that's the biggest thing about black folks in certain positions is that white folks are coming to get your money. You know, seriously. If
that's really the bottom line. They want your money.
Yeah. There was a study done, I want to say it was about 10 years ago, but there was a study done a long time ago that they talked about the IRS, like, actually audited rich black folks more frequently than anybody else. It was an interesting study. But they were like, why are you constantly looking at rich black folks? And what happens, if you're an IRS person, you're sitting in front of your terminator, you're like, Oprah. Let's check Oprah. You know what I mean? Like, they're watching who is getting notoriety for being rich opposed to how much money somebody has. So they're automatically auditing people based on popularity more than they are for a criminal.
Wow. Well, now, what about Wesley Snipes? Because from what I understand, this is his, third or fourth time with some kind of interaction with the IRS saying that he has not paid his taxes. And it was an accountant friend of mine who said that he, in fact, does not pay his taxes and felt like he should get away with it, some kind of entitlement. I don't know that to be true, but that's something that has been said quite a bit about the black actors that have actually done time, black celebrities, rather, that have actually done time for tax evasion or tax fraud or something. So I'm concerned about that, and would like to know if you know or have any comment about that aspect.
Well, no, but I would disagree with that. I think that you have I don't think that if anybody who has, I don't know, $1 million as a black person, they probably have accountants. And so his income tax evasion comes from not claiming something. But you know, like this from working in corporate, is that when somebody pays you a check, they have to file that they sent you money. So eventually you're going to get audited if you cash a check. If it's not cash, it is going through somebody's system. So they claim it on their side where it needs to show up on your side, right? Everybody knows
right.
that. But when you use accountants, I don't understand why so many black people are going to jail and they have accountants, because they're not getting that money in their hands.
Yeah, he had an accountant.
Exactly.
Right.
So his accountant is processing that money. And so whoever the accountant was that you spoke to, it is negligence on that accountant side, although the accountants never go to jail. Red Foxes didn't go to jail. Richard Pryor didn't go to jail. None of their accountants go to jail.
Yeah.
I think they got burned. That's what I think.
What happens is that those guys are not held responsible. They're not liable, even though they're not reporting that income. They should. If you have an accountant, they should say, okay, well, I put it through. Like when I take my stuff to the accountant, they say, here's how much you owe in taxes. You need to pay that.
Right.
Now, although I could probably figure out mine myself, the problem is that somebody is sifting that stuff for you. So when they're filing on your behalf and you just sign the letter, I think somebody else needs to go to jail. I bet you find less black folks going to jail for tax evasion.
Right. Well, I think that it's possible that he may have said to the Mr. Snipes, listen, he had an up-and-up accountant that wasn't giving him bad advice or whatever, and he says, listen, you owe X amount of dollars. And he says, well, I'll pay it next year. And then he comes back again, and because, you know, that's what happens with the accountant. He says, listen, you need to write a check for X and so. you know, I file the papers. This is what comes up. This is what you need to do. You have to pay me X amount, and you have to pay them X amount. Well, I'll pay it next year. And I'll pay it next year, and I'll pay it next year. And he's like, listen, you know, this is going to become a problem. Well, you know, I don't want to have it, so I'm going to pay it next year. That could be it. Or he could be getting bad advice, so I don't know.
Right. See,
because I can't imagine that an attorney would allow him to end up doing federal time if, in fact, his accountant was negligent.
You know, but I still kind of think we're kind of bailing them out a little bit. You know, more
the accountant?
Yeah, because think about it this way. When Wesley Snipes went to jail, he had the money to pay them, and they still put him in jail, right?
Yeah.
He literally could have paid them and still went to jail for evasion, which means, like, they found some money that he was supposed to pay that he didn't claim on his tax form. He didn't get arrested for not paying his taxes. He got arrested for kind of hiding tax money. Like, it was a little bit different. So they're saying, what happened to this $3 million or X amount that you didn't claim from 2000 whatever to 2000 whatever? And Wesley Snipes, they're dumbfounded and was like, look, I got an accountant, right? Somebody, the movie studio don't send no check to Wesley Snipes' house. They send it to his accountant, they cash it, and it goes into his account. So technically, I think we would probably be bailing him out just to say that he didn't file his paperwork. It's not, if the accountant said, here's your IRS forms, you need to sign this and send it in, that's different, right? But income, avoiding taxes is not against the law, Mitt Romney, but evading taxes is. So if he had a good enough accountant, he could have moved $3 million. That's nothing. Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that he ended up going to jail, though. That really hurt me.
Yeah, that was unnecessary.
He's still in jail, isn't he?
Yep.
Yeah.
He should be out in a few, though.
Well, ridiculous, though. That's
no,
ridiculous.
I'm really saying that to say that he's been in for quite a while.
He's been out
for like 2 years. It's like almost 2 years, right?
Yeah. And nobody's talking about him. Not one interview, not one anything. I just, you know, it's appalling to me.
Spike Lee went up to see him.
Top. It's appalling to me that one of the top black actors in the world has been in jail for 2 years and, like, nobody's talking about it.
That's not true. Spike Lee went and talked all about it. Spike Lee went up there, visited him and everything, and brought back, you know, saying that he's doing good and he's trying to keep his spirits up and, you know, he's working out and he's writing a screenplay and, you know, he's going to have a story to tell.
When was that? I remember that.
A couple months ago.
Right, but he's been in jail for 2 years, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, it just...
Yeah. But you know what's odd about... You know what's odd about that? Is that he probably should have been out by now. Like, even when you get sentenced these days, like, you don't have to serve all of the time. But I suppose that he would do what Mike Tyson did. I was just telling my brother this, because I respect Mike Tyson for this. What happened is that Mike Tyson had... I forgot how many years Mike Tyson had. Six? No, he had... I can't remember.
Did he do 4 years or something? I remember
it was 4 years. Because he had 3 years in, and they were going to let him out early, right? But they were going to put him on something like 15-year probation, and Mike said, you. And Mike stayed in the extra year. And when he got out, they were saying, you should donate your money to a woman's shelter. He said, beep you, white boy. Like, he was mad at the press conference. And the reason he had the right to say that is because, first of all, he said he didn't do it, but he did all his time. So he said, I paid my debt to society for what you said I need to pay. Y'all need to leave me alone. So Wesley Snipes should come out not answering any questions.
Well, Wesley's in a federal prison, so, you know, they don't give you out early.
Right.
Federalists. Time, day for day. There's no, you get a day off for good behavior like the state.
Yeah, I don't know how none of those prisons work, but I'm saying.
I know, be very careful, Jerome.
I know, that's right. Hey, I can admit that. I have no relationship to this, but All I'm saying is that in Wesley's case, you have prison overcrowding. You have people in there. You can get more custom. This reminds me about the student who was yelling, or the family that was yelling at the graduation, and they want the family to do community service. They want 20 hours of community service for the family for the kid to get his high school diploma. And it reminds me of just setting punishment on people. So anyway, so they can give Wesley Snipes community service.
They really could.
For the rest of his time.
Personally, I don't think he should have went to jail. In my opinion, I don't think he should have gone to jail. Not when he offered to pay the money.
No, he did pay the money. They're going to still, they'll still take the money. But Paris Hilton and Charlie Sheen got caught with cocaine, and none of them two fools ever saw a day in jail for it.
That's a good point.
They had cocaine on them.
Yeah, that's such a good point. And how many times did Paris Hilton get probation or nothing?
Yeah, I think they caught her with drugs at least 4 times.
Oh, yeah. We lost count. You remember she had drugs in Las Vegas?
Yeah. Talk about the hardest state to get out of jail time from. That's where OJ is doing his time. Because they don't let you out of jail in Vegas, and she got out in Vegas. She had drugs in a hotel in Vegas.
Never even did a day. Never did a day. I don't know how she got out of it. But what the bottom line is, Wesley should not have gone to jail for that. But I think that when you, it's the government, it's a different, I don't know, the government and the state is a little bit different. And the fact that he had went to Africa may not have set too well with them.
I always think it's how you play that game, though. You know, like
what'd you
they
say?
Have their favorites. And Wesley Snipes, I don't know how he got jail time. I mean, he did Blade and Blade Runner and all of those movies that he kind of made his mark in mainstream society, and I'm surprised that he got it.
Yeah, I was too. I was very disappointed
Everybody
that
was.
He got it.
Well,
yeah,
really. I was so disappointed. I still am. I cannot believe they locked him up. But if they'll lock up Martha...
Well,
Martha
okay,
Stewart
how
is
do
no
you,
snitch.
Well?
They locked up
Martha. Martha Stewart is a little bit more gangster than we gave her credit for.
You better preach. If they locked up Martha Stewart, you know.
Anytime they lock up somebody that makes cupcakes, good cupcakes.
All right, yo,
it's
okay.
Like anybody who does seasonal decorations and get locked up, it is a problem.
It is a problem.
That is a problem. Y'all are funny. Well, listen, we are almost out of time. And I know I promised Ronnie that I wouldn't keep her past her bedtime. Jerome, you don't know that Ronnie goes to bed at like 7:15.
I do not.
Ronnie, come on.
Do not. She's exaggerated. I go to bed at 11 o'clock.
Listen, let me tell you something. Ronnie called me one night. It was like, I don't know, it was after 11, and I was on the phone, and I hung up on the person I was talking to. I didn't
what's
even
wrong?
Wait. I was like, wait, what's this calling me? It's after 11. Oh, my God. Something's wrong. It's an emergency.
Because I never talk on the phone after 9:30. But I used to be a night owl like my sister. We were night owls in crime. We never went to bed. I didn't go
Ever.
To bed from
Ever.
1980, I think 1982 until 2002.
Uh-huh.
That's the truth. That is the truth. And now she's in
I mean, literally, no, we would go days without sleeping. I used to go 6 days without sleeping, 7 days, not on any type of, substance that keeps you awake, just natural, just we ran from here, ran there, ran here, ran there, and so now I have to go to bed.
you have to catch up, huh?
I have to catch up.
For about 20 years. So, but anyway, Rome, I'm so happy you're here. I'm so
Yay.
Happy you're here.
Thanks for
so much.
Me.
That's a pleasure.
And thank you so for having such a good time without me. That's okay. I love you, and I love
you. No, we didn't. We missed you.
We
you
didn't
were
have
missed.
A good time without you.
I know you did. And I missed you guys, too, but you held it down. So anybody, if you didn't catch the show last week, make sure you go in the archives and check it out. And I'm sending mad love to Jerome Esprit, who is here with us tonight. Thank you so much, Jerome, for hanging out. You are awesome.
All right, thanks for having me again.
And my beautiful, incredibly talented, hilarious sister who is here with me. I love you, sis.
I love you, Jerome. And I...
So I will we'll see you all next week. You're listening to Ask Kathleen. We're here every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Join us. Call in. Tell your friends. If you have a topic, definitely bring it in. We're going to have some guests coming in shortly in the next couple weeks. And preferably, we'll always have Jerome with us. And, of course, the beautiful Ronnie. Yeah.
Good night.
And Kathleen Williams, your host. You can find us here every Sunday night. And also check me out on my website, KathleenWilliams.com. And we will see you again next week. Have a fabulous week, everybody. We love you.
Have a good week.
Have a good week, guys.
All right. Bye-bye.
Around. Got an obsession with us getting down. Come just a little bit closer. I just need permission, so.
Net News. I want to get the light.